It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How are you feeling today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Earl?
I'm doing fine. I mean, you're there, so it's always good when I get a chance to interact with you.
Okay, well, feeling is mutual.
So, listen, Dr. Craig, I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's conversations, there have been conversations clandestinely with Milwaukee Public Schools and, well, the school board of in Tulsa about possibly them joining forces. The fact that Tulsa is somehow, you know, they're in this financial hole and the district is shrinking, and you know, there are less and less students, and the cost of running those schools is beginning to be a problem. This is something, Dr. Craig, that, you know, is not going to be just something here in Milwaukee, but across, you know, the nation. Baby boomers and the schools, Dr. Craig, the cities and towns no longer need all of these buildings because baby boomers, we're beyond child age, school age. So it's not unusual that this conversation is being had. And I got to get your brother on, Ted, because this is a conversation that I'm sure he'd be willing to have. And I'm going to reach out to him after the day, after I found out that MPS and Wauwatosa School Board having conversations.
Yeah, and he, in his job for WEAC, he represents the Wauwatosa teachers. So my brother Ted would be a great guest on that, I think. He would, to the extent there may be things he can't disclose.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The media you're seeing, Earl, he'd be able to talk about.
Yeah, but I mean, Dr. Craig, the fact that the school districts, you know, aren't sustainable because there aren't as many children anymore. Your thoughts?
Well, you notice who's absent in all of this. The state of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
This is when we have a constitution that says guarantees every child an education, and where they are the chief funder of education. Property tax is the second largest funder of K through 12 education. And so, frankly, the fact that they're not investing in these districts to make this transition is important. And therefore, they're left to try to figure it on their own. It may or may not work to consolidate. It's very hard. I was involved when I worked for SEIU and another union, the consolidation of the public health departments between Dane County and the city of Madison. And you know, sometimes it seems like it'll save a lot of money, but it's very complicated. Right. It may not in the short term. So there's a lot of complexity to this. It shouldn't all be on the Wauwatosa Milwaukee Public Schools. We don't seem to be taking into account that because we haven't addressed the climate crisis we've already warmed the globe and it's going to continue to warm. There's going to be migration mid-century to the Great Lakes states. So you know what, Earl? We may have to reopen all these schools in the 2050s and the 2060s, 2070s, even if we moderate climate change, let alone if we continue not to address the crisis. If it's runaway climate change, everything's nearly impossible to handle. A third element I'd point out is, look, there's a real question. This is a nation of immigrants that has always grown in part because we had immigration, and we've cut off immigration. Frankly, we should, this isn't about open border, closed border. This is, do we have a sensible immigration policy? And by the way, there's going to be mass migration from the global South, Central America, South America, if we do not start to moderate climate change, because their land is becoming increasingly uninhabitable because of our carbon pollution, not theirs. And so none of this is taken into account comprehensively. And then you have underfunded districts trying to figure it on their own. So this is downstream, right? There are a lot of upstream solutions we're not dealing with because Congress isn't doing its job. Republican Party isn't doing its job. It's just blocking things up for political purpose. And the state of Wisconsin is not doing its job. So then you're left with very imperfect solutions. But this ought to be a canary in the coal mine, Earl. Let's see how many state-level politicians see it that way.
You know, Dr. Craig, you always make me ask the next question when I talk with you, because it does warrant thought. Because, again, the population of the Americans that are born here having children is certainly down. And so, we've got 325 million or so people here, and that number is continuing to go down because the birth rate for many Americans is basically zero. And so, there are all these different people who need to come to this nation in order for the nation to, you know, survive. And whether we like it or not, Dr. Craig, nobody's looking at it. Well, I shouldn't say nobody's looking at it from that perspective, but for the people who keep hollering, we need to do away with these immigrants, that's the future of this nation.
Right.
I mean, it really is.
And so then there's that, hold that for this election, where now everything's about how big a wall we can build. This second thing is, there are smart ways to make something out of this. There are discussions in Green Bay that we're part of, Citizen Action Wisconsin, we're a statewide membership organization, where they need fewer elementary schools. What they're talking about doing is closing two, building a new one that is solar and carbon neutral. So you're going to have a much better school that's better for learning, that costs you much less money and starts to do what we need to do to reduce carbon emissions, greenhouse gases. You only need one school, not
right.
two. So we have a lot of buildings in Milwaukee public schools, and the Wauwatosa ones don't look that new either, that are 100 years old. I can see the Bayview High School out my window. It's well over 100 years old.
Right.
Gorgeous building. This transition could either the building could be retrofit. Great. I'm not saying that there isn't a role for classic buildings, but you have to retrofit them and make them great learning environments. As it gets warmer, there's research that shows that not having air conditioning reduces kids' achievement by 1%. It's measurable. That's bigger than almost any education reforms can claim. And we don't have air conditioning in most Milwaukee public school buildings. And it's going to get hotter and hotter,
right,
even if we moderate global warming, even if we do what we need to do to prevent runaway climate change, which we're not doing now. But in the best case, we're still going to have to adapt.
Yeah, Dr. Craig, I don't know if you're aware of this, but a candidate for president of the United States suggested the other day in an interview on Dr. Phil. I'll let you figure out who the candidate is.
I guess it could be Jill Stein or Robert Kennedy Jr. as well. Yeah. I think it's the more prominent candidate.
That he would win California if Jesus Christ was the one counting the ballots. So, Dr. Craig, Democrats play a different game, and you have ballot harvesting, but you also have people getting ballots, he said during the interview. I mean, in California, you have people getting 7 ballots. If Jesus Christ came down and was the vote getter, counter, I would win California. Okay, the former president added later. In other words, if we had an honest vote counter, a really honest vote counter, I do great with Hispanics, great. I mean, a level no Republican has ever done. But if we had an honest vote counter, I would win California. Dr. Craig, when you hear a person who's running to become president of the United States speaking like that, shouldn't we all stop and say, that's not normal. That's not a healthy way of looking at anything. And so we must really take a close look at the psychological health of a person who talks like that candidly, Dr. Craig.
I'm getting increasingly appalled by the gaslighting of Jesus Christ. He's just someone else to be gaslit like anything else. You know, a church historian at University of Texas, Tony Ketty, wrote a really good book. I'm holding it up, The Republican Jesus, which is about how the Jesus that is discussed by them is not the actual Jesus. This goes through all of the actual right. historical information, everything we know about. So the man who told us to care for the poor and the least among us, who told us the Good Samaritan story, which is about the outsider who is despised, helping the person along the side of the road and the people who are supposed to be on your part of your group not doing so, and also to distrust the privilege of the rich and all of their hoarding of resources, right, in the and the money changers, that he apparently intervened to redirect the bullet, to redirect Trump's head so the bullet would miss, and now could be voting, counting votes differently in California. You know, if we're going to believe, and it's not my faith tradition, in a God that personal, that is deciding that the bullet should hit JFK, MLK, and RFK, but shouldn't hit Trump, it's hard to imagine this particular God, right? And we can name other people right. that the bullet hit and then misdirect it with Trump. Then I would suggest that perhaps Trump was spared so that he wouldn't be martyred, and so that he would be embarrassed, humiliated, and discredited as he deserves in this election.
Well, there's no question that every time he opens his mouth, all those different things happen. 844-967-2789 is the number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. You can join us on the other side. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, quickly, the Milwaukee Police Association is putting pressure on Milwaukee Public Schools to get officers back in the buildings. Police officers were pulled from MPS in 2016, but patrol school grounds outside until 2020. So the Republicans forced Milwaukee Public Schools in order to be able to get the sales tax referendum in the city that they had, that they demanded the legislature that they have law enforcement in the buildings. Dr. Craig, as somebody who was in Milwaukee Public Schools volunteering my time during those years where these resource officers were in the buildings, it made no sense whatsoever. And yet for the legislature to demand, and now it looks like the police president to demand that they have law enforcement in the schools where the schools don't even want it, What are we dealing with, Dr. Craig? I mean, what are people trying to do? This makes to muscle the district to have police officers in the buildings when the district doesn't want them. And the fact that the parents haven't called for them, what's happening, Dr. Craig?
This is the Republican version of identity politics. We're going to show you. We're going to make it happen. It's like forcing the teenage kids to go to church, right? When they don't want to go, right? We're going to do it because we can show we have the power to do it. And the same police union endorsed Donald Trump,
yes,
and had J.D. Vance come and embarrassingly, yes, serenade them with lies about the border and about immigration. And so it's appalling. It tells you, frankly, that the Milwaukee Police Association was probably part of getting the Republicans to do that because they want to go impose their will on the public schools. And here's the problem. This is taking a step back from police, right? And there are,
right,
very well-meaning police who went into this career for good reasons and do useful, valuable things in the community. I just say that when you bring in a police officer, what is their specialty? To detect crimes and to punish them. It's like if we brought in the accountants, they'll look for things to account, right? In other words, what you invest in ends up what you get, right? And really smart, not every restorative justice program, but very smart restorative justice programs. One of the better ones is in Des Moines, Iowa. Actually make kids feel safer and included much better than resource officers do, because they move from a resource officer system. And Des Moines, I know we have Syracuse, but Iowa, the Des Moines city schools are much more demographically like the Milwaukee public schools on a smaller scale. And can we at least have democratic assent? Can the police at least have open a dialogue with MPS and with MPS parents about what would be helpful under these conditions and what could they all agree on would be helpful? No, they're going to say, we got our allies, the Republicans, to force you to use our service, and now we're demanding you use us and bring us in the middle of your schools to keep order.
It's absolutely crazy. I talked to resource officers when I was there. They felt they could be better used out in the community fighting crime, where there's a shortage of them anyway. Let's go to CJ. CJ, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Earl and Dr. Craig, but you both are wrong. You both are very wrong. I talked to the police resource officers in Madison before the defund the police crap went on, and they pulled them out due to pressure because police are
parents didn't want them there. That's why they pulled them out, CJ. The parents didn't want them there. I know I was in the schools for 12 years when the resource officers left. You said you talked to a police officer. I was there every day, 5 days a week, for 12 years.
And they create relationships with the young men and women, and they get taught respect, and they're treated with respect. So shame on both of you.
Hey, CJ. It would be nice if you ever had an inkling of understanding about what it is you're talking about. You don't know. You weren't there. Dr. Craig, the truth of the matter is the fact that the police union gets involved with this is not a positive thing, especially since the district doesn't want it. When you're talking about building relationships with parents and children, Dr. Craig, how do you build it in a proper way if you're forcing your way into the buildings around the children when the parents haven't said yes?
You do it democratically, have a balanced approach. You just don't impose your approach. By the way, this is a union that, with its relationship with Scott Walker,
right,
got excluded from Act 10 and also,
absolutely,
got the residency requirements removed, and therefore most of their members are not
don't live in the city anymore, right?
Yes, but they are to patrol our schools. And notice the implied disrespect to the teaching profession. The young men need police officers to teach them about respect. Respect at the end of a gun or a baton, right?
Right.
And the teaching profession doesn't play a role like that. That's why our society, on average, pays police officers more than double what they pay teachers. And that says a lot about our society. And that doesn't mean, like, there's some space here. CJ is not wrong that there are individual police resource officers that probably had a very positive impact on individual kids. That doesn't mean this is a good overall policy or this union should be forcing its way back into the schools by using its political power. And what's going to be interesting is, I think the state Supreme Court's going to rule that Act 10 was unconstitutional because it politically excluded some unions just because they were allies of the Republicans. That's its major vulnerability. And we'll see where the police union is then, when they're going to either lose their union or make common cause with all other workers in this state.
You know, Dr. Craig, police and fire, I remember having a conversation with Scott Walker at a different radio station at a different time. You excluded police and fire. You can't say unions are no good and they're all these different things, but then police and fire, you totally exclude them. I remember having that conversation with him on the air, and he stammered. He didn't have a reasonable answer for why they did that.
It is likely unconstitutional because, and this is why I think the state Supreme Court holds, because your public policy reason for doing it is undermined if you politically pick and choose which groups get one, which ones don't. And that's why Ohio didn't do it, and then they had their law was overturned, actually, by a referendum. And Walker was just purely political. And the thing, there's a good chance it'll be thrown out. Is there with it by early next year, Earl?
All right, 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to this Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. And before we go back to the phone lines, Dr. Craig, health care and parents can't function. They're so stressed, the Surgeon General warns. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump want to provide relief, though they disagree on the details. Let me read this for a paragraph. American parents need a bailout. Suffering from stress, money woes, and loneliness more than their children's childless peers, nearly half, Dr. Craig, nearly half of parents can barely function, according to a new report from the Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy. Murthy says government aid in the form of child tax credits, universal preschool, early childhood education programs, paid family and medical leave, paid sick time, and investments in social infrastructure can help. That's in line with the Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris's campaign pitch. But GOP contender Donald Trump is also considering how to get more cash in parents' pockets. But he and J.D. Vance have a completely different idea. Dr. Craig, if you don't prioritize parents and children in your society, what can we expect from the society as they age? Why is it so hard to understand, Dr. Craig, that we have to invest in these children and in these families more than in businesses if we're talking about the survival of a society?
this gets to the tension line when the whole Republican, not and particularly the MAGA, but the modern Republican kind of framework, they want to present themselves as looking out for average Americans. Of course, they try to define average Americans in a very gendered and racial way. But they really do the bidding of our corporate overlords. Okay, so he says the tax cuts are to help average people, but the tax cuts are all geared towards large corporation wealthy people with a few crumbs to everyone else. And they're certainly not for requiring anything of large corporations. So for example, large corporations are where the super wealthy make their money, right? And
right.
Before they pull it out of the extract it from the corporation, it becomes generational wealth. And so for example, paid family medical leave, something that was actually passed by the House as part of the Biden-Harris Build Back Better agenda and didn't make it through the Senate because of
right.
two very conservative senators. And so we're the only major country in the world with no guaranteed paid sick days or leave of any kind. You know who wants that? The employers who don't want to provide any. So of course, what happens when you're a parent and you work somewhere, which is nearly 40% of jobs, where you have no leave and you have a sick child, well, you end up losing that job.
Right.
And then what the Republicans do is blame you for that, right? Blame you for losing that job, claim you're dependent, you're not hardworking. And so they're going to have to, this is a big divide between Democrats and Republicans, require a certain amount be provided by all employers, a certain amount of paid leave. Democrats are for it. They passed it in the House. It'll never come from J.D. Vance or Donald Trump. Paying for childcare, it's totally overpriced. And it is. And we also pay poverty wages to the caregivers,
right?
Which is an important profession. You need resources, just like you need them for schools, which requires we have revenue, which requires that the wealthy and corporations pay their fair share. Which
yeah.
Donald Trump's position is we want to give them more tax breaks and benefits and more of a kind of get out of responsibility and participation in our society free card so that they can just take the money and run, and literally run to their yachts and their offshore islands when it comes to it. And you can go down that list. It's very clear that Kamala Harris is running all those things. If you give her a Congress that will pass them, both House and Senate, that they will pass, it's very clear that everything Trump and Vance saying is trying to positioning and genuflecting and fake attempts to say that they're with you when they're not with you at all.
You know, Dr. Craig, there's a stark contrast between what, you know, Kamala Harris and the Democrats and the Republicans, the way they view things, the way they see things. And so there is a distinct difference. You can't say that they both see things, you know, through the same prism. They don't. There's got to be an investment in the people in this country, Dr. Craig. You don't have to have the, you know, a PhD behind you in front of your name like you do, Dr. Craig, to know that you've got to do something. The people are struggling and suffering, and the young amongst us are suffering and struggling. And I'm sick of people saying, we can't afford that, Dr. Craig. We can't afford it. We can't afford the child care.
Well, you see it with the hypocritical make people responsible hair short philosophy of MAGA Republicans, because they don't say it about their benefactors, right? They forever give them everything, give them every subsidy, give them every tax break imaginable, right? Every
right.
get out of jail free card if they violate our environmental and our labor laws, right? And you see like the $5.5 billion that the state found for the Milwaukee Brewers billionaire owner who is profiting. Well, like we didn't say to him, well, just be responsible. Because by the way, the gain in value of the team every year, which is 200,000, is more than enough to maintain that stadium. But no, he has to have all of it for intergenerational wealth, right?
He's building a new mansion.
So you'll notice.
He's building a new mansion as we speak, but go ahead.
Yeah. So the people they actually fight for, they need all the money investments imaginable, right?
Right.
Nothing can be expected of them, including paid family medical leave, a basic thing that others, all other advanced civilized countries have. And I'll say civilized, that's uncivilized not to have it. It's barbaric. And that's what we have right now, zero days in the United States of America. And we have a minimum wage in the $7 an hour range still. I mean, that's their policy. Kamala Harris will raise it dramatically, more than double it. And so really, as we were talking about Jesus earlier, he said, by their fruits, you will know them. So all let's cut through all whatever he says on Dr. Phil. Boy, Dr. Phil has gone south, right? Those kind of conversations. Yeah. And just look at what he has done and what their record is. Look at J.D. Vance. He says he wants child tax credits. I didn't see him fighting in the Senate to maintain the tax credits that Biden had in for a year that reduced child poverty by 46%, but he's for them somehow, some way. No, he's not. He's gaslighting you.
Well, let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. Your thoughts.
Good morning. What's very disappointing in hearing all this is for the last 3.5 years, we've heard how great the economy is and how everybody is, you know, just doing so well and everything else. And the reality is this, and Dr. Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, and I mentioned this prior quite a bit. We passed the Affordable Care Act back how many years ago now? It's like 15 years ago. It is so out of whack price-wise for the average family, I can't even tell you. The thing is, yes, there's subsidies, but at the end of the day, if you look at the out-of-pocket expense that a family of four actually has to pay now is exponentially higher. And the thing is, you know, here we're talking about now, you want to talk about flip-flopping. Harris was for Medicare for all. Now, all of a sudden, she's in her policy position. She is saying, no, I'm not willing to go that route. And so at the end of the day, again, I personally feel if we were to have actually competitive where hospitalization is transparent, where you could actually see how much costs are associated for an operation, and you can shop around for different prices, just like when you go to the grocery store, like when you go to the gas station, like you do for anything.
Hey, David, I wish we had more time, but we don't. But I guess I would say to you, and Dr. Craig, you can respond. You talked about the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act was pared down because Republicans forced them to not, you know, implement the entire program, Dr. Craig. And, you know, yes, it is expensive, but it does offer something that was not available to people even before that, Dr. Craig. How soon people forget?
I think it's important to, I want to provide nuance to this because our political style, Earl, is blame everything bad on one side and the other side blames everything bad on the other side. And where's the citizens throw up their hands, right?
Right.
And that's why we have disengaged voters in part. And we need to ascribe to elected officials their actual mistakes and then give them credit for their actual accomplishments. And that almost never happens right now, which was partly why our democracy is broken. Affordable Care Act, it was oversold by Barack Obama. It was a necessary step forward, but there need to be further steps on cost. And he didn't say that, and so we didn't understand that. And then we've been distracted for over a decade by trying to prevent the Republicans from going backwards and repealing it altogether. And they came one vote, John McCain, away from doing that the first time Trump was president, which makes you question his change of heart on that, which he's claiming he will not repeal it. It's sort of like, and he'll not have a national abortion ban. These are hard to believe given previous practice. So the ACA did something important though, and we can't lose this. It said someone who doesn't have good insurance at work and isn't Medicare or Medicaid eligible, isn't low income enough, and doesn't use the VA as a veteran, has somewhere to go to buy healthcare no matter what, and they can't discriminate from pre-existing conditions, and there are subsidies to help afford it. Here's the other thing. Biden improved the subsidies dramatically. Right now, you can't pay more than 8.5% of your income Would I have it lower? Absolutely. But it's a guarantee you'll pay no more than 8.5% of your income. You know what? The legislation expires next year. Donald Trump has made no commitment to renewing it. Kamala Harris has. So if you want it to be even worse than the caller just said, then vote for Donald Trump. But do we need a lot more on healthcare? Absolutely. Now, here's where I'm going to disagree with the caller. This free market competition is going to solve everything is fantasy island land in healthcare. We're talking about giant monopolies that have set up the whole system to enrich themselves with massive profits, the big hospital monopolies, insurance, and big pharma. And every time Republicans run on or put bills forward to make it transparent, it ends up not happening. I've been in those fights. You know why it doesn't happen? Because the hospitals don't want it because their business model requires you not know their price. As soon as I see a Republican that's serious about doing it, I'll give one person credit. You won't believe who I'm going to say something positive about, Earl. One Republican who was serious and lost was Leah Vukmir, former state senator and candidate for U.S. Senate. She actually was serious, but her party was not.
Well, she was also a nurse. She was also a nurse, so she had some understanding of the system. Yes.
And we have a nurse in Appleton who's also becoming more of a renegade Republican side that there may be some way for us to work with her on. She's a Republican. She's very right-wing in a lot of ways, but she understands healthcare better and has dealt with the hospitals. In terms of shopability, people all know a lot of the things that you do in healthcare are not shoppable like vacuum cleaners, okay, or cable plans. Research, 13% of major medical costs are shoppable. So that transparency would help a little on shoppable things, but ultimately we need the power of democracy to set the price like Medicare does. Otherwise, it will be unaffordable. And Republicans don't want to look at that. Too many Democrats don't want to admit that either.
All right. 844-967-2789. Hang on. We'll come right back to you. Minutes. I can't believe of the Earl Ingram Show today. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, right back to the phone lines. And Jane from McClure, good morning to you, Jane. You say what?
Morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to point out, going back to the child care costs topic, that this is just another shining example of how extraordinarily out of touch Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are on issues that are affecting so many people. Not only did they not ever raise children, which is the really hard job, they just hired other people to do it, and that cost was nothing to people like this. So it defies logic how people could want a leader that has no basis in reality of what we're all dealing with. And at the end of the day, we're all better when we're all better.
I think that's so well said, Jane. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what, sir?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments. One, about the school issue. Being an officer inside a school has got to be a very, very tough job. If you don't have the temperament for it, schools end up with million-dollar lawsuits when kids are airlifted and slammed on
yes.
the floor. And two, CJ's comment about learning respect, I agree with you there, CJ, but guess what? Your party believes and we believe that should be taught at home, not at school, okay? And for all the people with the healthcare thing, complaining about healthcare and the Affordable Healthcare Act, Hey, how's that Trump health program doing for all of you? Have a great day.
Thank you very much for the call, Brendan. Let's go to Jean from McClure. Good morning to you, Jean. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Great show as always. You know, I think people also forget that that was the number one issue people were dealing with when Obama was running. And what it did is take away a lot of the discriminational factors to include pre-existing conditions, age, occupation, where you live, and your sex. And John McCain saved the day, and I'm so proud of him. So, yeah, I remember also if you were male or female, you know, it makes a difference in your how much you had to pay. Oh, that's right, too. Now when women are going to be forced to have children, their insurance are going to skyrocket. So, folks, wake up. It's very important here. Pay attention to the facts. Thank you.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, it is, you know, mind-boggling. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa quickly. Hey, good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Hi, Dr. Craig. Hey, maybe we should merge all the Milwaukee County schools into one Milwaukee County school district. That put some money together. What I actually called about, though, is all the conversations about education are precisely what the DeVos family and Betsy DeVos, Trump's former education secretary, had in mind when they began this campaign to dismantle and bilk K-12 public education and use those funds to build more false choice charter schools while also helping to pay for the private parochial schools where every day children are indoctrinated. And the funny thing is, you know, taxpayers have always paid this bill. It's just now being paid locally or being asked to pay locally, which hurts individuals locally more and targets people. After our GOP-controlled state legislature decided in 2011 that Wisconsin's K-12 schools no longer deserved enough money to keep pace with inflation.
Hey,
so this has been a long game. Long game they're playing.
Hey, Eric, no question. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
These were all great comments by the callers. Let me, on the first caller about the unreality, Hannah Arendt, the great critic of authoritarianism and of Nazi Germany, said the first stage in authoritarianism is people living in another non-reality world where facts don't matter anymore. So we've seen that stage and we hear it all the time in our media. On healthcare, I would say I would take a line from Alan Grayson, the former congressman, on what Trump care is. I'd say that Trump care is, under Trump care, number one, don't get sick. And if that fails, die quickly. those are what we're seeking. Now, the caller that brought education, because there's no Trump health plan, there's
right.
No guarantee of anything, okay? There just isn't. They'll say, well, take care of that pre-existing condition. I don't know how without a system that puts everyone in, you know, in together. That's the only way to do that. On education, the caller had this idea of merging all the Milwaukee County schools. Honestly, justice and equity would be that all of the Milwaukee metro area was in one district. Why? Because a lot of those suburbs were created so wealthier people and white people could remove their kids, have better schools, and only pay for their kids and not pay for the other kids. The most just system would be all the wealthy, middle class, and low income kids, all the black, brown, and white kids are together in the same district and figure out the best education that is equal for all of them. That would be justice. We don't have the politics to do that yet, but that is what the system ought to be.
You know, Dr. Craig, that's what the system was when I went to school, right? I mean, in grade school and middle school, that's what the system was. And it worked, right? But people didn't want that, and they wanted to separate, and they separated it, and that's why we're where we are now.
And it was more democratic. A lot of people from different backgrounds and walks of life and ethnicities and races and religious traditions together, meeting each other, learning each other, figuring out up on common ground.
Yes, it worked. All right, Doc, I wish we had more time, but it's always great to see you. Always great talking to you. I got to get your brother on now, man. We got to talk about, and I'm going to reach out to him. But thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, and all of you listeners. Up next, Jane Matinette, Greg Bach is sitting in for her. The weather has changed. Enjoy it. Be safe. I'll be back on tomorrow with the one and only Dr. Robert, Dr. Smith, and Omar the Pharmacist on the Earl Ingram Show.